And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. I'm actually reporting live from Miami. I'm at the... whatever the hell the name of this stadium is called
now.
Is
it the FTX Arena anymore?
Yeah, it's like the Miami Dade Arena. Well, those are the dulcet tones of Mo Dekeel, who's rocking a USC shirt that looks conspicuously like a Cleveland Cavaliers shirt with a mic blocking it, which we'll get to in a bit, because nobody wants to wear a Cap shirt after what happened tonight. And nobody wants to wear a Celtics shirt after what happened tonight, because their offense completely fell apart in the middle of crunch time in this game and ended up losing to Miami 98-95, which I guess isn't shocking considering they were missing half their rotation, and Miami's defense turned it up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, they really locked down the fourth quarter and had a total control. It was surprising because this was a game that felt like, even with Boston's all their guys out, felt like they should win this game. Kyle Lowry had a horrible night for the Heat. No Jimmy Butler, who was a late scratch. All of that, you would just think like, okay, Boston can kind of pull ahead, and they were doing a great job. But Jared, forget about my analysis. You were there. Why did the Celtics only score 13 points?
Well, that Miami zone against a Celtics roster that had Jason Tatum and then Derek White was their only other rotation caliber ball handler. I mean, that team just, they couldn't drive an attack. Miami was able to just stifle them at the point of attack, and they would, Joe Mazzulla talked after the game about how Miami, they're so creative with their zone, with the little subtleties they have, they would mix up whether they were trying to force it to the middle or force it against the sideline. So even if the formation looks the same, they're changing up their scheme in very subtle ways all the time. And the Celtics just did not have the quality of ball handlers in this game to be able to pull that off. Like, Peyton Pritchard had to do way more dribbling than he's supposed to be doing. And he played 42 minutes in this game. You know, Pritchard only played over 30 minutes once this season. He played 30 and a half minutes. So they asked a lot out of him. And I mean, he had a really good defensive game, but he just couldn't shoot. And most of the team just did not shoot well from three. They just got to the line a ton.
Yeah, and I think we also got to shout out Bam Adebayo, who was freaking awesome. Ooh. In this game with the 30-15 type of night. He did everything, I think, for the Heat, and I think that was kind of the big difference. But this was still a really close game down the stretch, and I got to ask you, Jared, the Heat go up two, and Jason Tatum just walks up the ball up the court like it was a tied game, like he was trying to get the last shot. And then, of course, turn the ball over. But what the hell?
I think that's a team that's at the end of a road trip, and they're gassed. You know, Tatum, he played 40 again in this one. That's 40 with a little bit of foul trouble. Like, he could have played more, honestly. But I think he was looking at this one like, I want to win it here, because they were down two, and they went for the three. And they easily could have gone for two. Like, he had Rob Williams rolling. He could have given it to Rob Williams. He could have gone for the shot. But basically, in this one, I think he had the ball with like 15 seconds left when he's bringing it down court. They don't call a timeout because the Heat have Strus out there. They have they had Hero out there, I believe, right?
Yeah,
Hero was the guy they wanted to pick on.
Yeah, they have guys you want to attack. You call a timeout.
Exactly.
I was okay with that. They just didn't attack. And
they
that
did
was
not.
Kind of
they
the
were
problem.
So slow getting into it. They were so slow getting into it.
But they still had a chance afterwards because Highsmith misses. First off, he misses the first free throw. Then, with 0.6 seconds left, probably should have missed the second free throw. And shout out to Zach Harper, because he's the one that put it in the group chat where I was like, yeah, you're right, should have done that. That would have, time would have expired there. Instead, he makes it. They go up, they're up three. As Boston calls the timeout, Peyton Pritchard had a look, Jared.
He had a look, and Boston had two timeouts, so they could run a play that died, and then they could then call timeout again and run it again. So it was, I don't know how, I mean, Miami, they made so many great game plan decisions. I don't know how they screwed that up at the end, but whatever. I mean, that's not a big one, but credit to Eric Spoelstra. I mean, he just did a phenomenal job with the defensive game plan in this one. And Bam Adebayo was just so deadly in transition in the fourth quarter. I mean, he really took over the fourth quarter. He hit a few really nice shots in the mid range, but he had a few plays where Boston was a little sluggish getting back in transition. He just kind of literally rammed it down their throats and threw it down.
I mean, just to kind of hammer the point of the fourth quarter, 9 points, 8 rebounds in the fourth quarter alone for Bam. Like, pretty impressive night just from him there. Not a bad loss for the Celtics. I think losing to Orlando was a bigger deal than losing this game. But just kind of sucks because they felt like they were in control for most of the night.
Yeah, they only had 13 points in the fourth quarter. And Peyton Pritchard, he went 1-for-5 from deep in the fourth quarter. He missed a few open shots. You know, one of those goes down, and hey, they win this game. But that's what happens when you have to go deep into your rotation because you're missing half of your team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
The Nuggets won. They just barely beat the Pelicans 99-98. They were supposed to have a comfortable win in this game, I guess, much like the Celtics, and they collapsed also in the fourth quarter. What happened?
Well, unlike the Celtics, they had all of their guys, and it was pretty impressive to watch New Orleans go on a 10-0 run and actually take the lead, Jared, in the last 4 minutes of this game. The offense kind of fell apart. They missed some shots, some bad turnovers. And then on the other end, they couldn't get stops. And New Orleans was able to go on a run. You know, Jose Alvarado making some big plays and some big buckets getting into the lane. I felt like you were just kind of watching. It looked like a near collapse. Then Jokic hits a nice little floater right in the rim, you know, right in the middle of the lane to go up one. The Pelicans get two chances at it. Can't knock it down. CJ McCollum has a three in the corner, not able to hit. They come away with the victory there, but it was not a pretty game for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic, 25-point triple-double, is that even, like, noteworthy at this point? I feel like I made the same joke last time because it happens every goddamn time. Jamal Murray had a very nice game, 25 points, 11-for-21 shooting. He was kind of the offense there late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, they needed every bit of that action from Murray. And again, what I like about this for me when I'm watching the Nuggets is Murray, again, looks more and more comfortable getting into the flow of things and stuff like that. Their crunch time offense was brutal, though, and that's going to be something that's concerning. That and the fact they weren't able to get stops against the Pelicans team that still didn't have Brandon Ingram or Zion. Like, that's a little bit alarming.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he was even the best point guard's offensive player in this game. I think that goes to Alvarado, who was the one hitting the shots late in this one.
No, I mean, Alvarado was really impressive. I just, there's nothing else to say about it. Had a nice play in the lane where an and one on a pretty much like a, almost like a scoop finish. It was pretty impressive watching him kind of take control. They were hyped. Like, they were ready to win this game. Shout out to Aaron Gordon, though, because he's the one that saved the game, Jared. Baseline out of bounds at the end of the game. It's very simple. The Pelicans look like they have Hernan Gomez wide open, slipping underneath the rim, and you have Gordon defending the inbounder, does a great job shading to the paint and taking that pass away. You know, that could have been a game winner right there.
Let's get over to the Knicks as they finally got a win. The Knicks are back on the board. They beat the Cavs. Big win here, 105-103. Julius Randle was just an absolute force with 36 points and 13 boards.
I mean, this was a monster game they got a monster game from Randle, just everything about it. He looked extremely comfortable. The Knicks offense down the stretch, still not that great, but he hit a big three on a possession that looked like was going nowhere. Like, man, it's, you know what? It just feels good to see the Knicks get a win. You know, like, the Knicks fans are happy. You know, they had lost four straight. They finally get back in the winning column, a little more juice, a little more excitement there for them. I was pleasantly surprised for them.
By the way, Randall took 12 threes, went 8 for 12. I don't think I've ever seen him shoot that well in a game before.
Yeah, I don't think Randall has seen himself shoot that well in a game before. that was an impressive thing. It was just one of those nights where they were just shooting. He was just shooting it really well. I had it going. I mean, not too much to say. I thought the Cavs really had a chance down the stretch. Isaiah Hartenstein gave them great minutes at the end of this game, including
the block,
a game saving block right there on Donovan Mitchell, who made his return back from injury. You know, game saving block right at the rim. I thought he was perfectly vertical. I thought it was a perfect defensive stand from him. And Mobley still had a chance to tie it up with a turnaround, but fortunately couldn't knock it down.
Speaking of guys carrying the offense for their team, Luka Doncic, he had 41 points. He had 15 boards. Didn't matter because the Wizards just barely squeaked by for a 127-126. The post-Rui era is off to a great start. Kyle Kuzma, 30-point game. Denny Avdija had a 15-10 night. Looks like the power forward position is doing okay in Washington.
Well, the logjam's gone there, right? Everybody's a little more freer and relaxed there. This just goes to what the night was. Just another wild end. Spencer Dinwiddie hits a big three. Bradley Beal comes down and knocks another three down in Luka Doncic's eye. The Wizards are up one with the ball. Luka pokes it away from Bradley Beal. He goes running on a break. He gets fouled, goes 1-2 from the line. Tied ball game instead of, hey, the Mavs should be up one. And then he fouls Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma goes to the line, goes 1-2 from the line himself. And then this is the thing that frustrated me the most, Jared. The Mavs base sideline out of bounds to try to win the game. They don't even get a shot up twice. The first time, the Wizards double Luka as soon as he catches it. He tries to get it back to Spencer Dinwiddie, who just inbounded the ball. Ball goes out of bounds. They run the same play a second time, thinking it'd be a different result. Not so much. This time, Delano Wright gets the steal, throws the ball to the other end, and they lose the game. But they didn't even get a shot off, man.
I mean, hey, at least Peyton Pritchard got a lousy shot off in this Celtics game. But this ending had no ending to it. That's always frustrating.
It was just one of those things where you just wish that they had a chance to actually kind of break this one open. Just get a look. And for me, I know they didn't have a timeout on the second sideline out of bounds, but at that point, you should have something in your back pocket to call. Just call something different. I thought I was watching a replay when I first saw that. Like, oh, do we have time for a replay? It was weird.
All right, we'll race through these last two things here. Pacers beat the Bulls 116-110. TJ McConnell filling in at the point for Tyrese Haliburton with a 20-10 game in 41 minutes. Mathurin, 26 points off the bench. Miles Turner had a 26-point game as well. But let's get over to LeBron, because LeBron, he dropped 40 points against the one team he hadn't done it against. 46 points, 8 boards, 7 assists. It's LeBron.
I mean, this is amazing. Like, he's just checking off things he hasn't done, right? Like, as we're winding down, I don't know how many more years we have left of LeBron, but just kind of ticking stuff down. We know the all-time scoring record's in hand. But that's pretty impressive. That's a hell of a stat, Jared, to be the only player in the NBA to have scored 40 or more points against every team in the NBA is a hell of a stat. Even though it came in a pretty tough loss, you know, they kind of got blown out there. But in general, that's a stat where you just kind of look at it and you just go like, damn, man, even in year 20, this dude's amazing.
If it was 30 points against all 30 teams, I thought that would have been impressive. But 40 points is absolutely insane. Like, how many guys have had 40 points against even 10 different teams? He does it then against all their franchises. And we'll see if he does it against Mexico City and Las Vegas and Seattle when they get their new teams.
All predictions from Jared.
Who knows how many teams are going to be in the NBA by the time LeBron retires. His career will probably outlive all of us. But that's going to do it for Mo. I am Jared. Danielle Lehman is our producer. And we will see you next time on The Dick.
Ding, ding.
Hey,
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.